This intro story once again comes way via Kotaku and also via Zach Zwizen. It's cranking out the hits, this guy. As spotted by Eurogamer, YouTuber.
Is that you, Zach? No one knows your last name. It yeah, could be Zwizen.
He's just plugging himself at the start of every single episode.
Yeah. It's my journalist alter ego. Absolutely. As spotted by Eurogamer, YouTuber, basically homeless, cut a deal with the electronic store Micro Center to create a gaming PC inside of an actual toilet, complete with all the plumbing and water that entails. The way this thing works is one half of the tank contains all the toilet bits and bobs along with the water. Then he built a water wall out of plexiglass and glue. On the other side of the wall are all the computer parts. The idea was to keep them separate, letting you flush the working toilet while playing games. Also built into the lid is a fan to help keep the PC cool. And thanks to the large cutout in the front, you can see both the functioning toilet and the running PC. According to Basically Homeless, he had to learn basic plumbing and how to cut porcelain to create his bizarre PC. The end result is both a conversation starter and a man who can now fix his own toilet. Truly a win-win situation. Max, what do you think of the PC gaming toilet?
Well, look, you know, it makes those long rating sessions a lot easier, but then obviously it now can only flush at half capacity. So, I mean, it's just a worse toilet now.
Yeah, that's I think true. doing number twos. Oh, what a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare.
That's going to be, you're right, that is going to be a big risk. There's been many a time where I've had to opt for the full flush. I'm happy to admit that. You know what it reminds me of? It just brings up the callback to that episode of South Park, the Wow episode, where Cartman is in the middle of that big raid battle that they're doing, and he gets his mum to come and catch his shit in the bucket. Oh, absolutely fantastic. Is it not every gamer's dream to be able to not have to leave the seat and just continue gaming like this?
I mean, that's what the Switch is for.
But yeah, I wonder if the water inside of the tank there as well too would also help to keep the PC cool as well too.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
What a terrifying situation. God, you have to hope that glue holds. Because you're going to have so many issues.
I watched basically Homeless's video, right? And it's a great video. I'd recommend everyone go on and check it out. I'll put it in the description of the show down below. And he didn't even test it for leaks before he went to use it. So he put all the PC gear in and then set it up as a toilet and just like hoped as it filled up. And it leaked. Of course it ended up leaking. So he had to take all the PC parts out and like take it apart and then use Flex Seal and just like a whole can of that just everywhere where a leak could possibly be. And then, it ended up working. It was a great video. He just very much winged it as he went along, basically.
You know what I'm thinking? There's another potential. It's all fun and games for us and we're joking about this, right? But businesses will genuinely can think about this going, toilet workspaces.
No more paid toilet breaks.
That's right. No. That's right. That was our one little piece of paradise that we could say, I'm going on a toilet break. I am not working during this time. Nope, fuck you. You still got to answer emails while you're taking a shit.
How does that translate into the new work from home world though?
He's sitting there in a Zoom meeting and Janice from administration is just there staring you right in the eyes as she just lays one out.
I'm thinking hybrid working model where you only go into the office and in the office there's only toilet facilities and that's your working space.
Oh,
so it's just a bathroom either or else you just work from home.
So is there a toilet for each person or is it kind of some kind of hot desking situation where
hot desk where
someone gets up and you sit down?
A hot mess desk.
Literally hot. It's always warm. It's just been so long. All right. Oh my goodness. Far out. PC gaming toilet. Who would have known that such a great idea could also be a shitty idea?
Everyone.
Oh.
Everyone.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Lockie. Lockie, how's it going, man?
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews of the gaming... I'm Lockie.
How you feeling, man? You look amazing. You look like you're very well rested.
Oh, thank you. I'm feeling top. Tippy top.
And I'm feeling tippy top this morning because we have a fantastic guest lined up this week. From the For the Players Pop Culturist PlayStation Podcast, we have the one and only Max Cooper. Max, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a crazy alliteration mess, our podcast name, isn't it?
Oh, I love some alliteration. That's why I always use Zach Zweizen's articles for the intro stories. Alliteration is fantastic. It sounds great. And yeah, you sound great for the amount of sleep you've had, Max.
Yeah. No, we're all right. It's been all right. It's been all right. Glad to be here. Thank you again for... It only took us the better part of like a month and a half of back and forths trying to lock down a date. And... But we got there eventually.
Exactly. And it's been like a year and a half or longer since we've had you on the show.
I think last time I was on, I like spoke about Brave League Default 2 for like half an hour. So it must have been just around when that released because, yeah.
Far out. And it's going to be weeb time again for Lockie this week, I think. Oh, yeah. But for people out there who don't know, I absolutely love your podcast. It is the only PlayStation podcast that I listen to. Absolutely fantastic. Where can everyone find it and all the stuff that you do, Max?
Recently, we've had a schedule change, so we now record live at twitch.tv/thepopculturist on a Sunday evening due to my crazy work schedule and my co-host now has a lot of extracurricular activities on a weekend. But you can also catch us in audio and video format on Monday mornings. 8 a.m. for Spotify and other podcast services, and on the YouTube, youtube.com/thepopculturist at 9 a.m. the video format goes up.
And would I be right in saying that your co-host Ryan Betson is happy with his new TV that he's purchased?
So for context, he bought a TV, I would say about a month and a half ago, and every single episode he fucking brings it up and talks about it for like half an hour. And he still hasn't invited.
What's the
and
TV?
He still, I don't know. I stopped listening, to be honest with you. I mean, the worst thing is he still hasn't even invited me over to come and check out the TV.
He just keeps teasing you with it.
Is it the LG C1 or C2?
No, it's some fancy new Sony thing. Samsung.
Samsung. Okay. QLED. Is it Samsung's dotted QLED?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Oh, I've got a Samsung. They're so good. Yeah, but I've just been loving hearing the disdain in your voice whenever he brings it up week after week. It's so great. It's funny too, because I swear since Lockie got his OLED, he brings up OLED nearly every single episode as well too.
Hey man, it's the way of the future. Once you go black, you can't go back.
I just can't stand playing games on a TV. I find the refresh rate just to be too horrendous most times. Because I've got three 4K screens in front of me for context. So I play on PC monitors.
Okay, but mine's got like 120 hertz, and I find that's fine. Like, what kind of hertz are you looking for?
I mean, all my monitors run at 144, but I find that there's just a bigger input delay from a TV to a computer monitor.
Okay, fair. No
everything just feels sluggish. It looks good, but feels sluggish.
I agree where you're coming from. I think it's because on TV, they have a whole bunch of systems that do like little auto corrects here and there, and image sharpening and enhancing. So it's all slightly one step behind. So if you don't have all of that turned off, and which takes like, you know, an hour at least to figure out all the features of the TV. Yeah, you get that fuckery.
Mm. Yeah, well, I do my gaming on a PC monitor when I am streaming. And if you want to check out my streams, you can check it out at twitch.tv/news2reviews. I stream at 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday. My last stream, I beat Stray in under 2 hours to nail that platinum, and the VOD's up there. Go check it out.
Oh, because that was awesome.
Oh my that God, was so it good. Was a stressful time. You want
to? I haven't gone back to check it out yet. I watched the first little bit of the stream. How close were you to the 2 hour mark?
Like 2 minutes.
Oh no!
Like I thought I didn't have
so
it.
So close. Yeah, I thought you didn't have it. I was on the audience side, and I felt the crushing wave of disappointment, and then the utter jubilation when you confirm, because we can't see on our side when the achievement comes through, and so you confirm. Oh, I got the achievement. It was like holy shit! It's like a bloody football game where it came to the last. Like, it was a clincher game.
Sony blacks it out whenever the trophy pops up, and it was during the credits, so you couldn't see the trophy pop up because of that. It was a fun stream, that one. I actually took my pants off at one point because it was getting too hot inside the room.
That's just you normally.
That's dedication. Like, dedication to
I'll stress.
Dedication to the bit.
But anyway, yeah, twitch.tv/news2reviews. Check it out. And if you can, leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts if you do enjoy the show, because that is the best way you can help us get into the ears of more peeps out there. We got a massive and interesting week of news up ahead. Should we jump on into it, lads?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's do it.
First up, Pokemon Presents. They had that event that Pokemon. Is it annual? I don't know. I feel like there's already been one this year.
Yeah, they normally just throw them out when they've got a bunch of stuff to announce. And on the back end of so many leaks for Pokemon, they've probably tried to get ahead of the curve. We've got to start tempering expectations.
Yeah. No, there won't be Pokemon Scarlett Johansson.
So, did you check out the event at all, mate?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it live on Wednesday night.
Oh, I watched it live, eh? A big Pokemon fan?
No, it was just I was just getting ready for work. I'm like, I'll put some background noise on.
Well, would you agree with me that the COO had a fucking killer suit? Like, holy shit, that thing looked fucking mad.
That's some Pokemon money suit right there.
Absolutely. I just loved how the entire time he just had this deadpan expression. Yeah. His delivery was perfect. It was great. But as far as the event was concerned, the only stuff I was interested in was the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet stuff. Is there anything you wanted to mention other than that?
I think they added in like for their cafe game, they made some announcements, and I think their MOBA is getting some more Pokemon, but I never really got into those. So yeah, if you just talking about the main games, if you're interested.
Yeah, well, it's all just mobile stuff. Yeah, like bloody Pokemon Go.
I mean,
Pokemon,
I think Pokemon Unite's on Switch now. Was on Switch first, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like, yeah, oh God. Nothing I was interested in, but yeah, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I don't know. I'm actually excited for it, and I'm worried I'm going to regret saying this because I've been disappointed by the last few Pokemon titles. But I don't know. It looks like it's what I wanted Pokemon Legends Arceus to be. It looks like just an open world Pokemon RPG. That doesn't look like absolute shit, and you can go around and fight the gym leaders and stuff and actually battle trainers, like do what you normally would in a Pokemon game. I don't know, how do you think Scarlet and Violet's shaping up, Max?
I am in the complete opposite to you.
Oi, okay.
I loved Legends Arceus, and I look at this and I'm just like, this is not for me. I think I can happily sit this one out.
Okay. Oh, dang. Alrighty. Yeah, I tried Arceus because I'm like, finally something different. But I don't know. The thing that I like in Pokemon is the battles. Like, I'll only catch, like, if I come across a Pokemon once, then I'll catch it, and then that'll be it. If I like the Pokemon, I'll keep it in my party. But, you know, the whole thing in Arceus was you're just, it's just all about catching Pokemon and multiples of the same Pokemon and... Oh, yeah, no, I just, personally, I couldn't get into that. But, yeah, Scarlet and Violet are just are ticking those other boxes for me. Now, Coridon and Mirrodin, I'm a bit unsure about now. The legendaries in these ones are fucking motorbikes. They got fucking, they got wheels and shit. And you're right, Max, they're like legit Transformers. I recommend checking out the trailer, Lockie, because it's fucking ridiculous. And... Coridon, the red one, doesn't even use its wheels. It still runs, even though it's got wheels. It's so stupid. Like, I thought the idea of legendaries have always been these mystic Pokemon, and like, obviously these are the dragon-looking type ones, but like these, you know, massive, massive creatures that you don't usually find until like the later stages of the game, because they're this like sort of mysterious thing that you're building up towards, but... Like, what, are we not going to get the motorbike until the very end, though they're advertising it, like, as one of the main features in the trailer? Like, I'm assuming we're going to get them at the very start. Are there going to be other legendaries to compensate for that? I don't know.
I think we're going to get, like, a Cat Bus Totoro type situation.
I do not get that reference.
Yeah, no, Zach doesn't know what I'm talking about. Max, do you know what I'm talking about?
I vaguely know what you're talking about, yeah.
I mean, it's all in there in the package. It's a cat that is a bus, you know, flies around, transports people in a magical, wondrous way. It sounds like that's what they might be going with the legendaries this time around, a little bit more... kid-friendly, which makes sense because Pokemon is fundamentally a kid's game and maybe this is their really, really young entry that they just want to really drive home. The point that they go, oh, well, you know, Pokemon's great and all, but you know what else is great? Hayao Miyazaki and all his films.
Do you like it, though, Lockie? Do you like the look of these weird motorbike-transforming legendaries? I think it looks fucking stupid.
Look, I haven't gotten to the point yet because this direct is like 20 minutes long.
Just skip to the end, we're only going to talk about Pokemon Scarlet Violet. It's all at the back half.
All I can say is that the CEO is, he has amazing looking skin and hair. So I think he's got a bit of a Silver Fox vibe going on, which is very rare to see someone in such a senior position going on there. So, wow, Nintendo.
Yeah,
wow.
Apparently the male professor was based off of him, so there you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, that's exciting that basically just Nintendo and Pokemon, everyone's getting hotter. everyone involved in the project, everyone working on it, everyone's getting
except for the starters. The starters look atrocious.
What? No! You can't say it about my boy, Fuey Coco. Fuey Coco has my heart and my soul, Max. Oh.
I mean, there's some Donald Duck Trump looking water time.
Yeah, Quaxley's shit. I agree. Quaxley's terrible. Fuey Coco, just, I'll die for Fuey Coco. Like, I'll do anything for that little alligator, fire-breathing alligator. Like, oh, it's
yeah,
so cute.
Yeah, fire Totodile. It's very, very
even
inventive.
Its name.
Oh, yeah, okay, I've just gotten up to it. So they're just motorbikes.
Yep.
Oh, that's terrible. That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah. No. I'm not a fan of Quaxley. Absolutely not. But Fuey Coco. My God. He has my heart.
You know what this is? What? You know what this is? They just got a kids focus group of like 3 year olds, and they just didn't make any executive decisions. They based it purely on what the 3 year olds said were the coolest, and this is what they said, and they just went with it. No changes.
It's like when they got Homer Simpson to come in and design that car for his for his brother.
exactly like that's just what a three-year-old would go, oh, motorbikes are really cool and Pokemon are really cool, and they don't have like the faculties to go, yeah, but if the motorbikes aren't actually driving, then that's really stupid and lame. But then they're like, no, cool plus cool equals cool. Yeah, so that's what's going on there.
I never knew that all that Rayquaza was missing was wheels, and it would have been the best ever.
Now, Max, are you going to break my heart again here? Oh, don't even know if I want to ask now. How do you feel about Fido?
It's just the next random normal type that you're just gonna run into fucking everywhere. He's like a slight upgrade from that rat dude. He's the new Bidoof, I guess. Like,
look, yeah, I don't argue that it's going to be a useless Pokemon. It's literally a loaf of fucking dough. But it is. Fido is adorable. It's a fluffy dough.
It's a loaf of bread with four legs. Again, they didn't field test this properly. Kids were like, sandwiches are good. How about walking sandwiches?
You know what? I'm looking at this thing and it's kind of perfect.
Good.
It doesn't need any change. Except for I'm not a huge fan of the yellow custarding lining. I would have preferred like a chocolate.
Well, I'm glad it's fire dough and not fire dough.
Because that color, what that looks like is just some. It just looks like piss.
What is it? What does it evolve into? Some kind of
a bigger dog that's been pissed on.
does it drop the dough and pick up like a loaf, or like at what point does it become a bun? Like
it becomes like a 6-pack of bread rolls.
I'd love. Of red rolls in the plastic bag. Plastic bags included with the
it's Taylor's like the end that's like scrunched up with the tag on it.
That's great.
So we need to get these ideas to Nintendo. Anyway, so now talking about shitty ideas from this game, this I think is just fucking stupid. The Terastal Evolution, I think it's called. It's basically this weird evolution form where they turn into crystal versions of the Pokemon. It looks fucking stupid. Like, it changes the Pokemon to crystal and then also gives it, like, this big chandelier fucking thing coming out of its head that is bigger than the Pokemon itself. It looks so dumb. It does have utility because it does change the type of the Pokemon, so I'm sure it will be really useful in battle. I don't want to use it. It just looks so terrible. Like, why not just keep VMAX, you know? What
about that chandelier Pokemon? What happens to that if it gets crystalled? So does it get a chandelier on its chandelier?
It gets a little light bulb or something.
It's just a double chandelier. Yeah, okay. Oh, and Pikachu just has balloons on his head. Yeah, or is he becomes that a part flying of the base type. Model? Right.
Yeah. When this popped up, I think I missed... I can't remember if they announced what the Terastal Evolution was first, because I thought, oh, geez, they're really making shiny Pokemon wanted now. I'm like, this is an interesting take. It's just, they're not shiny anymore. They're crystal Pokemon. I'm like, that's kind of cool. And they're like, nah, you can do this whenever you want. I'm like, that's so dumb.
They've got shiny Pokemon and then they've got really fucking shiny Pokemon.
Well, every single Pokemon has a terrestrial, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's fucking weird. It has that form. But I agree, guys. It looks fucking dumb.
Terrestrial, that's not something that those three-year-olds that they were clearly focus grouping will be able to wrap their heads around. So where the fuck did that come from? Oh, no. I figured it out. Kids love lights and colours. And this is just nothing but lights and colours.
No, I like to believe there was just one middle-aged, like hippie lady in her 40s that was there and preaching the power of crystals.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of crystals.
She loves fake jewelry. She's got like a bead company. And she's
the one thing that's interesting about this, at least to me, is there's going to be 4-player co-op in this one. Now, there wasn't a lot of details about it. It's basically just said you can go across the whole map and you can catch Pokemon together and you can do raid battles, but my thoughts were like, can you play through the story together somehow? Like, can you use both, like, just simultaneously do your stories at the same time and just hang out while you do it? There's no sort of details on that. I don't know, Max, what do you think of what they showed of the multiplayer?
It kind of brought back feelings of, I think it was similar to what Sword and Shield had, where you can kind of just go into that open world roaming area with your friends and do those raid battles. I don't think there's going to be anything extra than that. And they definitely haven't said as much either. So they're either being tight-lipped about it because they've got something cool coming, or there's nothing cool coming, and it's just one of those. Yeah. You can hang out with your friends and catch Pokemon and take part in those raids, and then that's pretty much it.
Look, I think that'd be pretty cool so long as it's not just one area that you can do it in, like what it was in Sword and Shield. You'd need to be out, and I'm pretty sure they said you can explore the entire map together, so... Yeah, but yeah, I know how Pokemon's implemented multiplayer in the past, and just Nintendo in general with any kind of online multiplayer, they're like doing stuff 10 years in the past. So yeah, I wouldn't get too excited. I'd say I think you're right there. What about you, Lockie? What do you think of the brief multiplayer stuff they showed?
He's like panning the video trying to get to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find... that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out, oh, what's going on? It looks like it's more or less the same... You've got the same game as Sword and Shield, but it's going to be in a different area. They're going to... I don't think we're going to see much different. Yeah,
I think...
It looks
like it's free camera for the whole thing, though. Like, it looks like a blend of that and Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Oh, okay.
But without the cool catching mechanic that Arceus brought in.
Which is what was cool. Like, it's silly that they wouldn't implement that again.
You know, I really like... Can I just say on that crystal thing, I really like the concept. I think they just went overboard with sticking a chandelier and a whole bunch of crap out of their heads. They should have just stopped at making all the Pokemon have a cool crystal form.
I think the crystal forms look dumb. It just looks like those bloody little crystal figurines that you'd see in random shops as a kid. I don't know if people still have that, or like at old people's houses that have those little crystal figurines. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I just think it looks pretty.
Well, Max, you sounded like you had an approving sound.
Yeah, no, I kind of know what you mean, but like the thing is, they've obviously got to show what, because obviously every Pokemon gets a new typing when they crystallize. They have to show what you're getting to, like, so they kind of went to an extreme. So I think if you're grass, they got that, like, this big fucking emerald thing on their head. If you were fire, you got the big, like, I think they showed it off really well with the Eevees, because they're like, Eevee's gonna have multiple ones. And I'm like, well, how do you determine which one are you gonna get? Is it just luck of the dice every time you crystallize your Eevee, or is it a specific thing, trait that Eevee has, so I'm going to have to catch 6 Eevees to have all the different crystal versions of them. Like, what's the... They didn't really give much detail of it, so...
I mean, like, how many Eevees do you really need?
One for each evolution type, I guess.
Jeez, well, that's too many. No one needs Leafeon.
Oh, dear.
Actually,
well,
can I just draw attention really quickly, because it's a problem with the titling conventions of all of Eevee's evolution forms. You've got good names for all of them. You got Flare, you've got Jolt, you've got Vapor, and then you have Leaf.
What would you prefer for the grass?
Grassion.
I would probably say Arboreon.
Oh, yeah.
Would be a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I think Leafeon, like, that's pretty, like, someone just phoned it in. Oh, Leaf, I guess. I can't think of anything green.
Fair enough.
that's fair.
We were talking before about Pokemon having lots of leaks. Well, something else has leaked. Oh, yeah, hey, let's do a quick somebody's leaking. Apparently the script for the new Tomb Raider game, which I think was announced, when was that announced? Like, earlier this year? I don't even know if it was officially announced or if it was just something else that was leaked. But Sacred Symbols, another PlayStation podcast, Max, the hosts were apparently reading out the script on one of their Patreon only podcasts. And
sorry, Photosynthion. Synthion. That's also another one.
That's
sorry.
Perfect.
Continue.
That's I like that one better. It's yeah, very cool.
It's longer. It's better because it's longer. Photosynthion.
Is that your thought process behind a lot of the things you pick, Lockie?
It's our thought process behind how we structure all of our episodes.
That's definitely not what I was implying anyway. Crystal Dynamics issued a DMCA takedown to the lads over at Sacred Symbols, which is what's lending a lot of credence to this. Like, why would they do a DMCA takedown if it wasn't real? I haven't read the script. You know, I'll wait till the game comes out. I'm not interested. But apparently, there's going to be, they're going to be doing the whole blend of realistic and fantasy thing, but there could be like a romance story element to it as well too. Max, I don't know, have you heard about any of this news? Are you interested in the new Tomb Raider game?
Yeah, so I had a quick squiz. And yeah, so they were sent, the guys over at Sacred Symbols were sent a copy of like a short snippet of the script by someone working on the project, and then they thought, yeah, we can totally just read this out word for word on our podcast without anything bad happening. But my understanding is only the Patreon got flagged. So if it went up anywhere else, none of those got DMCA'd. It was just the Patreon feed that got DMCA'd. So I wonder if
that's probably because they're directly profiting.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because they're directly profiting from that or whatnot. But I mean, the Tomb Raider games are cool. Ever since Crystal Dynamics took it over a few years ago now, their reboot trilogy was fantastic. So if we get more of that, yeah, definitely. I mean, now that Uncharted's no longer a thing, as far as we're aware, Tomb Raider kind of fills that role pretty well.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of the Tomb Raider games as well too, and apparently this is going to be like a more experienced Lara as well too, whereas the the previous, yeah, Crystal Dynamics trilogy was the sort of the origin story, if you will. So yeah, keen for that. Lockie, do you have any interest in a Tomb Raider game?
To be honest, I'd like the Lara to go straight to the end where she's all old and grizzled and hard, like battle hardened, you know, just missing an eye.
Body eye.
You know, just like
just
real
go to the
badass,
extreme.
Like, I've seen all this shit. I've raided so many fucking tombs at this point.
Like, what's the name in the Halloween reboot? Oh God, how am I forgetting a name? Fighting Mike Myers there. Oh God. I've totally blanked.
No, like what Angelina Jolie would be looking like now these days versus when she actually did play in the Tomb Raider movies.
Well, I'm seeing a bit more of a like Terminator 2 vibe, you know? What's
like a Sarah Connor.
Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, Sarah Connor, yeah, Linda Hamilton.
Linda
big
Hamilton,
time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, 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 absolutely. Make her like Linda Hamilton type. Just real hard ass. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
And also, if they bring back the triangle boobs from the first Sony, that's also really funny. I'd like to see that make its return.
Actually, if you play Shadow of the Tomb Raider, they do have the original PS1 skin. Oh, you can play perfect. In the full, like, you know, 4K high texture detailed world, perfect. But running around with the PS1 polygon.
They know what we want.
It's great. That's fantastic. Something is not fantastic, though, is the way Ubisoft treated their employees for a long time. And we talked about this. God, I think all this stuff broke in like 2020. So pretty early into the lifespan of News to Reviews, we talked about this one. And after everything came out about Activision, Ubisoft also made their own sort of group. Activision made a better ABK. And Ubisoft made a better Ubisoft, and they made an open letter towards their management that had a lot of signatures, like over 1,000 people signed the open letter with a whole bunch of demands that they wanted from management, and it included a bunch of things like, you know, like a seat at the table and things like that, and getting rid of some of the...
Yeah, it's never a good sign politically in a company where you feel like you need to canvass public interest to compel your managers to do something. That's pretty extreme.
Absolutely. And look, I don't blame them after, what we heard about happening at Ubisoft. And yeah, they want to get rid of some of the problematic employees, managers as well too. We talked about stories about them moving around abusers and stuff like that rather than getting rid of them. Allegedly, this has all been reported. Now, apparently zero of these demands have been met so far from this open letter. And since then, 25% of the employees that signed that open letter have left the company. Not a very, very depressing story. Yeah. what is your opinion on all this?
I mean, it sucks, and it's hard when the issue is so deeply rooted into their higher up managerial positions. We saw the same thing over at Activision Blizzard. And then Activision Blizzard pulled that. No, we did internal investigations and we found that we were innocent of all charges. So it's that hard part when, like I said, that it's so deeply rooted into their upper managerial that it probably won't change. It's one of those things where you kind of have to burn it all down and remake it. And that's just something that realistically is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So... they do their shuffling and they send them to a different part of the company, whether it be, Ubisoft is huge. They've got teams all around the world. They're like, okay, you're moving countries now. You can be a problem somewhere else. Hopefully it's a fresh start for you, and hopefully they pull their head in and, do the job that they were assigned to do without being a dick about it. But unfortunately, most people in power tend to like the power that they're in and unfortunately abuse that power that they're in. And as you can see, at least hopefully with the fact that people are leaving because their demands aren't being met for, just a decent, respectful workplace, hopefully this opens their eyes to a lot of the upper management. They're like, hey, we're actually now losing staff. And that's going to affect us in the long run because no one's going to want to work there because people know what the, what they're like. Now that they're losing the staff that they have and they're going to find it hard to replace that staff, they're going to see a monetary loss, hopefully, and money talks. So.
Yeah. Yep. Now they, and right now too, in the games industry, there's a shortage of talent. Like, people are having crazy amounts of money thrown at them because they're desperate for developers. So to be losing all this staff is, definitely not smart on Ubisoft's behalf. And God knows they need talent right now because they got no games in their pipeline that I give two shits about. And this would be like the first time I could have ever said that about Ubisoft since I played the first Assassin's Creed. Usually they've got something that I'm like at least a bit looking forward to.
You mean you're not looking forward to sailing the seven seas on Skull and Bones?
Yeah, I can't wait for Black Flag without any of the fun stuff in it. Lockie, what's your opinion here on this one?
I think it's been covered off. It's a sad flow-on situation, and I wouldn't know what else could they have done. That's where I'm just thinking, like, it sounds like the people who were with the company and tried to voice their concerns, they took it out to the public as well. Although that can cause issues as well. 'Cause the thing is if you work for a company and you go out to the public because you're not seeing inroads being made, you're probably not going to see too many people want to support you internally as well at the same time, because it's kind of like, it makes things even harder to deal with. So I think at the end of the day, they've lost their talent, and that's always a really terrible thing. If they could have done something better to improve their practices and retain them, so it can be about the product and doing a good job and delivering the service. And I think a lot of companies, as you say before with Top Heavy, you know, if you lose sight of the service and what your goals are with what the company actually does, that's the most important part. So if anything threatens that, the quality of the product and the delivery, and part of that is happy employees that feel like they're not being dicked around all the time, then, you know, that's a shame.
In my opinion, Yves Guillemot, the CEO of Ubisoft, either knew about this shit and did nothing about it, or didn't know about this shit and is a totally incompetent CEO. And for either of those reasons, he should lose his job. And someone else who I also think should lose his fucking job, but also won't because this world is not fair, is Bobby Kotick, the head of Activision Blizzard. And Activision Blizzard were in the news for some more negative stuff, as it always is, because they decided to go ahead and just plagiarize an artist's skin for Call of Duty. So they released a skin called Floof Fury, or it's like part of it's the semioid skin. And there was a statement from this artist, Salen. And I'll just read that to you guys now. Quote, "Hello everyone, I am Salen. I am the original artist that the upcoming Call of Duty Vanguard semioid skin was plagiarized from. I only just found out at the time of the announcement that my work was plagiarized, even though I am also a Call of Duty player. I'm very disappointed to see my work being plagiarized by a big company like Activision in this way. I've reached out to Activision for an explanation and or compensation, and hopefully the situation will be settled soon. As an individual artist, I can only do so much, and I have to speak out about this to stop things like this happening again in the future," end quote. Now, I recommend checking out Salen's Twitter post because he has a very good comparison up there. It very much, like, there's a few details here and there change, but it very much looks like a ripoff to me. Sorry, Lockie, you don't look at the doc, so you can't actually see this and compare right now. Max, you've got the image. What do you think? Does this look like a ripoff to you?
Yeah, it's the classic of can I copy your homework but just change it just enough so it looks slightly different. It's pretty bad, and it's always bad, especially because, you know, like they said, they're a solo artist, they're an individual artist, and they're now going up against the guys who have what you can argue as the best law team in the business. And he's gonna get nothing from this, unfortunately. Yeah. Most likely, if he does, it'll be this tiny little hush payment to be like, "Dude, shut up."
Yeah,
this is the pittance that we'll give you, but you can't talk about it anymore.
Dude, if Activision Blizzard was smart, they'd fucking hire him, because one thing, they'd get the creepy thing that all companies like to have, which is control over him as an employee, and two, they'll be able to look good in the press. I don't know, Lockie, what do you think of Activision Blizzard fucking over this small artist, allegedly?
I think if they've wronged him, then he's due compensation.
Wow.
Okay, but in the real world, what's going to happen? Because unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, I don't know what we'd do without you, Lockie. Thanks for that. That was a hot take right there.
You're most welcome.
Well, look, I need to get your energy back up, Lockie. I'll do it with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, everyone's favorite segment. It's time for Never Fucking Trust It. That's right, our NFT segment with a worse acronym than what SkillUp uses. Because he came up with that first. I swear I would have come up with it if he hadn't. But now, unfortunately, we got some Sony news as far as NFT goes. Speaking of my soul hurting this episode, I guess that's the theme. I'm a Sony pony. I'm a Sony simp. So this really hits me right in the soul. So now Sony has purchased, or PlayStation, you know, Sony Interactive Entertainment has purchased Evo, the massive fighting game tournament that happens annually.
It's happening this weekend right now.
It's going right now. And that's how this story came out. Twitter user posted, and it has also been verified by a bunch of different outlets as well too, that like as part of like, you know, they do, you know, download the app for Evo or whatever, and they'll do little surveys or little things to, you know, earn points and all that kind of shit. One of the survey questions they have on there is, which of the following NFT/digital collectibles would you most be interested in purchasing? And then it gives you a bunch of options like Evo branded, favorite music artists, favorite esports players and teams, PlayStation items, and favorite game characters. Lockie, Sony. Seems like they're tepidly like seeing if they're gauging the interest in NFTs. What do you think about this? Sony dipping their little pinky toe in.
Yeah. They're testing the waters, seeing how much money they can make out of this thing. They're trying to get a sense of forecasting before they fully commit, but then they probably will because there's money to be had. I don't like it. I think NFTs are gross and stupid.
Yep. Max, you're from a PlayStation podcast. Is your soul on fire now as well?
So I found this. I'm going to bring up a story that came up a couple of weeks ago when PlayStation announced their new loyalty program, PlayStation Stars.
Oh, yep.
And they're like, hey, we're going to give away digital collectibles, yada, yada, yada. And at the very bottom, they're like, these are not NFTs. Like, we are not doing NFTs. And they're like, hey, guys, NFTs. So dumb.
It's so weird they'd even do this survey question after that whole thing, because there was, like, as soon as people heard digital collectibles, they were freaking out thinking, oh, this must mean NFTs, because it's a very common term used in the gaming sort of NFT sphere. And there's no option there to be like, I don't want any fucking NFTs. It's just like, you want to get kicked in the balls? How do you want it? Which way do you want to get kicked in the balls? From the front, from the side, from behind? How would you like it?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, not a fan of this at all. If Sony ends up doing this, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be fucking devastated. Sony, you are not making enough smart moves right now to get away with this disgusting shit. It's just, oh God. Go buy an Xbox Series X. Don't get a PS5 because Sony just can't keep up right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And you're the Sony simp, and that's like the anti-simp.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If it weren't for the fact that Sony has exclusives that I have to get because I've been playing this shit since I was a child, if I was someone who's completely new to games, I'd never had a console before, and I looked at what Sony has to offer and I looked at what Xbox and Microsoft had to offer, I would 100% pick up an Xbox Series X. I'll probably do the smarter thing and just get a gaming PC.
when you think about it, Sony, the concept of game exclusives limited to consoles is kind of like how NFTs operate.
Yeah, the scarcity market. Yeah, you're right. Yep, yeah, fuck.
Except they are very much fungible.
Yes, you can't take your NFT into EB Games and trade it in.
unless you've got a digital only console, in which case they're very unfungible.
true digital games. My God.
Yeah, good point.
Oh dear.
I was just gonna mention that because of the fact that they've got a discless SKU for PS5, all their new collector's editions just come with downloadable codes. They come with a steelbook with a code in it.
Oh, yep. That's it. I've already paid off my $320 collector's edition for God of War Ragnarok.
You're one of the lucky people
I'm just getting codes. That's all I'm going to be getting in my steel case. Look, it doesn't bother me because I'm getting a code for both.
Sweet hammer. You're getting that sweet hammer.
And I'm getting a code for both, which means I'll be able to do what I did for Horizon Forbidden West and get two platinums. I'm going to want to play through this game twice anyway. So, yeah, can it be November already? Fuck me dead. But that'll do us for the news for this week. It was a big week, a fun week, but it's time for the games coming up in the next week. First up, we have Two Point Campus coming out August 9th to all platforms. Tower of Fantasy coming out August 10th to PC and iOS. Arcade Paradise coming to all platforms August 11th. Cult of the Lamb coming to all platforms as well. Also August 11th, Rumbleverse coming to PS5, Xbox, and PC. Marvel's Spider-Man coming to PC on August 12th. Fuck, it's finally time now. Games are starting to actually come out again. Max, was there anything in that list that stood out to you?
Well, I just wanted to mention that Spider-Man is also Steam Deck ready. So if you got one of those fancy Steam Decks, you can play it handheld.
Shit, okay. Yeah. Can you see yourself picking up Spider-Man again so you can play it in 4K?
I've played through that game a couple of times now. I've got like one to two trophies left for the platinum, I think. And it's just, you know, collecting all the... I think I've just got the backpacks left to collect. Yep. The game's great. My computer is hot trash and would blow itself up if I tried to play Spider-Man.
It's totally fair.
Do you feel like it would operate better if you stuck it in a toilet?
It couldn't get any worse.
Hey, at least then you'd be out of shit.
Considering last night I got a pop-up message saying you have forcibly removed your graphics card, we're just going to have to reboot real quick. I'm like, that's probably not a good sign. So,
she's Lockie, on her way was out. There any titles there that stood out to you?
The Tower of Fantasy, I loved that title. I thought that was a really intriguing title, but then I looked it up and then I saw MMO and I went, nah.
Totally fair. Well, there was one title there that stood out to me. So I have pre-ordered a copy of this game on Nintendo Switch, Cult of the Lamb. The game I'm so excited about, I accidentally hit my keyboard and stopped the recording.
I was so excited, I punched my computer screen and now I can't see anything.
You won't know through the magic of editing, but fucking hell, this is going to be a fun edit now thanks to what I just did. Now, so Cult of the Lamb, out of the titles coming out this year, I think other than Horizon Forbidden West and God of War, this is probably my most anticipated title. Like, the second I saw it at the PlayStation event, I think it was last year... Mm. The cute little animation with this cute little lamb, but then it's got the creepy demonic element to it. I was sold from the very start, just based purely on the tone. And I played the demo for it during Next Fest, and I fucking loved it. It was only a short demo, only like half an hour, but I was already addicted. You know, I had one of my cult followers like mining something, and then I went out and did the little battles to gain I obsessed already. So I cannot wait for Cult of the Lamb to come out. I've got it downloaded already on the Switch. So hopefully midnight, Wednesday night, when it clicks over to the 11th, I'm going to be able to start hitting up Cult of the Lamb. And I think the Switch will be like the perfect sort of place for it, you know, like just to play for like half an hour before I go to bed or something like that. So fucking excited. And you know what too? There's been a lot of previews and stuff coming out as well too. Like SkillUp mentioned it, and everyone seems to be really excited about this one. So yeah, hopefully it holds up when it comes out. I was
watching some people play it last night because obviously I think the PC codes are out in the wild. So a lot of people were streaming it last night on Twitch.
Nice. What did you think?
It looks great. I'm pretty keen to pick it up this week too.
Oh, bloody oath. Where are you going to pick it up on?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure.
Just hoping you're going to get a bit of a code there perhaps.
I'm not sure. I don't know whether or not Ryan's put in a request for it. I normally I don't deal with all that kind of stuff. Ryan does all the heavy lifting. I just rock up and look good. So it's very chill for me.
I tried messaging Devolver. I did not hear back.
If there's stuff that I specifically want to be like, hey, can you reach out for me?
Then, yeah, totally.
It's very, very low key for me, but yeah, no, I'll probably I'll either pick it up on PC or on PlayStation most likely.
It looks yummy. Nice. Yeah. I'm picking that up on PC. I want to get the best graphical fidelity out of this one.
Well, I had a look at the Switch gameplay, and I couldn't see much difference from the PC version, or if any difference. Hopefully, it runs well. That's the thing. But it looks smooth.
Frames per second drop, low res. No, fuck off.
Well, it looked like it had like a decent enough res, and it looks smooth from the gameplay, the Switch gameplay I saw. So fingers crossed that holds up throughout, but we'll have to wait and see. But look,
Put up with that for Xenoblade because I can't play it on any other hardware, but I'm not putting up with that for this.
Nah, totally fair. Well, look, that'll do us for the games released in the games coming up in the next week. We'll take a short break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Max, you are our guest, and it is tradition on the show for our guest to get us kicked off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
Oh, so my gaming week's been pretty boring this week. So
okay.
Much to everyone's dismay, I am still playing Diablo 2.
Diablo 2 is awesome.
The first season's going.
His face light up immediately.
Yeah. The first season's going strong. So I jumped back in when season one started. I've got 3 level 90 characters on the ladder at the moment, and I'm literally running the same spot over and over and over and over again. That's all I'm doing. I'm just looking for those. I'm running Travinkle, which is pretty much the end of Act 3. I go in, I kill all the council members, I loot them all, I use the barbarian skill to re-loot them all, and then I save and quit and come back in and do the same thing again. That's literally all I'm doing. Just trying to find some high-end runes to make the last few rune words that I'm missing, and then I'm pretty much done with Diablo, unless they add more new shit to the next season, which I don't think they will.
Okay, so just if you can, just get for any possible new listeners to the show, give us a real brief overview of what Diablo 2 is. And you're obviously playing Resurrected, right?
Yeah, Diablo 2 Resurrected. So it's basically their remake of their traditional ARPG. It's one of those essentially point and click role playing games. It's very low key. It's very old. You can feel that it's very old in the way that the mechanics play. It just looks kind of prettier than it did. Diablo 2 Resurrected did this funny thing where you can play in old school mode and it does this wash across the screen and pixelates everything, and it's like, that's the game that I remember playing 30 years ago.
Yeah. I love it when they do that for remasters and remakes, like they did that with Halo as well too. It's always cool to see the differences.
So you go from playing 4K to 640 by 480, and it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. So the screen size as well. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what platform are you playing it on?
So I'm playing this on PlayStation 5. PS5.
Okay.
The other game that I'm married to at the moment is Rocket League. Rocket League has not changed at all, but is still fantastic. I dove back into Elden Ring for a little bit this week.
Just to
do some stuff. I got the platinum ages ago when it first came out.
Yes, I remember talking to Ryan about that when he popped on News to Reviews earlier this year, because you got that platinum real quick.
Just over 50 hours it took. Sorry.
Jesus. Were there even like walkthroughs out at that point yet on like how to do all the different endings and stuff?
I used a guide to find the last weapon that I was missing because I'd missed it 3 times. Because once you reach a certain point, the map changes and that weapon disappears forever. You can't get it once you pass a certain point. So that was frustrating because I missed it 3 times in a row. I'm like, where the hell is it? So I ended up getting a guide for that. But most of the optional bosses weren't too bad. Some were a pain, but some weren't too bad. I found Elden Ring to be on the easier side of the Soulsborne genre. It's a lot more forgiving than what the previous titles were. That you can play it entirely solo, but you still have summons to use, which makes things a lot easier. Granted, when I popped the plat, I was still playing the 1.0 version, so the Mimic tier summon was stupidly broken at that time. So what the Mimic tier does is it summons your exact loadout as a second player. So if you've already got a broken build, there's now just 2 of you running around, which is good fun.
Oh, yes. No, Elden Ring was my first From Software game, and I got the platinum as well.
Nice.
And I did it int build as well. I actually, oh yeah, I saw your video when they hadn't nerfed the there's like the, I forget the name of the orb, but it allows you to have unlimited magic for like, I think it started off at like 10 seconds and then they shortened down to like 6 or something like that. So yeah, I saw you take out a boss in one Kamehameha magic spell.
Yeah,
that was a thing of beauty. And once I saw you do that, I went on an adventure to figure it. I did, because you mentioned on Twitter that it was Rani's questline, so I immediately started that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great time. Unfortunately, you needed to do that for the platinum.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it was 127 hours for me to get that platinum. It was a far longer time, and I just had to stand back and chuck my rocks the entire time because I still found it brutally difficult. But since then, I've gone back and played Bloodborne. Just can't beat the last boss in Dark Souls 3. So
Souls 3 is rough.
I'm getting that From Software feels, you know, I'm diving in, and yeah, holy shit, Dark Souls 3 is hard. It is so much more difficult than Elden Ring. It is fucking brutal. And
the first boss is like, oh, fuck, this is a lot. What is it? It's Eudyx, takes you out in like 2 or 3 hits.
I was pretty much fine most of the way through. I could just do my normal thing and just grind until I can just, you know, almost just brute force my way through. Yeah. But yeah, God, the final boss, like Lothric, that cunt, fucking, I end up actually using an exploit to defeat him. And then there's the boss after that, who I'm still yet to defeat. It's just Dark Souls 3 has just been sitting there.
If you think that's bad, the DLC bosses are ridiculous.
The DLC. Yep. I've jumped into some of the expansion stuff.
The Ring City, it's just fucked. I never even got to any of the bosses, like just dealing with some of the fucking
brutal.
It's just like, fuck this.
They're brutal.
And you get sent there actually pretty early on if you have the Game of the Year edition like I did of Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, and
dude,
if you're not prepared
fuck
for
those
it.
Wolves, man. Oh. Those wolves can all get fucked right off that segment. Oh, dearie me.
That was their Sekiro prototype. They were like... You know, they knew where they were going. They're like, we just want to punish players for even enjoying our games.
Oh, dear. But I've got Demon's Souls sitting there that I've started, and I just, I don't know. I just don't know if I can... I'd played so much From Software in a short time span. Like, I think I've played probably like 300 hours of From Software stuff. I just needed a break from the self-punishment.
Yeah fair enough.
Something a bit more relaxed. But yeah, no, it's nice. It's turning into a bit of a From Software gush session for a moment. Now, I've like you, Max. You know, there's not been a lot coming out, so I've sort of just been sporadically playing things that have just like things that are like either comfortable or something like that. You know, like Crash Bandicoot 4, which I'd already played through most of. I've just re-downloaded God of War. I'm going to give that another spin before it gets delayed out of November. God of War Ragnarok. So I'm very much looking forward to getting into that. But I finally, due to having PS Plus Extra that I picked up in order to play Stray, I finally downloaded Death Stranding.
I thought you were going to say you finally own the Assassin's Creed collection. Because that's all we got last month.
Oh, yeah, I can finally experience Ezio Auditore's story. I can go kill the Pope. Oh, shit, sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, that actually is a big spoiler. It's one of the best moments of that game that clinches it. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, maybe I should bleep that. It is
the game's like, yeah.
Game.
The game's been out
for
years.
Oh, it's been out for 1,000 years, yeah.
Yeah, no, Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father. We're allowed to say these things now. It's like part of pop culture lore. Anyway, Death Stranding. I haven't played a ton of Death Stranding. I've only played about 7 hours.
Okay, all right.
It's scratching the surface in Death Stranding, and probably like... So that was probably about 70% walking and then 30% cutscenes in that time. And funnily enough, like for those 7 hours, I was like pretty entertained. Like the way the story sets up was pretty cool. Like I was like, okay, I'm 4 hours or three or so hours into this game. And right now I'm carrying the president across the map in a body bag on my back to go and chuck him in a furnace. All right. Yep. Okay. That's all right. Well, this game's kicking off. And yeah, just all the weird random celebrity cameos for people who don't know Death Stranding. It's been out for a while now. And this is the director's cut that they have on PS5. It's Hideo Kojima, the mind behind Metal Gear Solid. It's his first release with his own gaming studio, Kojima Productions. I think it released back in 2018, or was it 2019?
Yeah, maybe 2019.
Anyway, it stars Norman Reedus going through a post-apocalyptic world where basically something called Timefall and I forget the name, some other world, Think of the Upside Down, is sort of invading their space. It's called, the Death Stranding, I think it's called. That probably makes sense, right? No, The Stranding. I don't remember. Mm. It's very convoluted. Anyway, I'm surprised with how much I found it interesting. Probably the most disappointing thing
Wouldn't
to
me... be called The Death Strand?
Yeah, something like that. It's the first Strand-type game, Lockie, so get excited. Now, one thing to say that I'm very, very disappointed with is they took out the Monster energy drink. Now it's just like some non-branded generic energy drink in the video game. I was very much looking forward to seeing all that product placement. It seems like kind of a weird waste now. But yeah, I don't know. I played that like days ago now. And as much as like when I was playing it, I was like enjoying it and I was very curious and I was very interested in everything that was going on. The story had me intrigued. Since then, I just haven't found the will to pick it up again, and I don't know why. I just can't bring myself to play it. I don't know if it's just too slow, or I don't know. Max, did you have any experience with it?
I loved this game. So it was my game of the year when it came out. Now I had a very different experience with this game than probably what a lot of people had, because at the time, my wife was pregnant, so we were close to expecting our first. So I had that connection of, because through the majority of this game, you're carrying a baby around with you. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of times where this game like brought me to tears. Like, it's such a heartfelt and moving story through a lot of the mid to back end. And some of the characters just, it is really worth the push. I can see how it is a hard push if the story is not grabbing you early on, but it is one of those things where the game doesn't really start until you hit like that second or third chapter. Mm. And once you get to that point, it does kind of get into that go, go, go momentum where it does kind of pull you along. There's still, for the most part of the game, you're probably looking at 50% walking, 40% cutscenes, 10% combat. But it is that I think the story was enough to pull me through it. I never really wanted to put it down, so I never had a problem going back to it because it's just what I wanted to do until I'd finished it.
And that's the thing, Max. It's not even like I wasn't intrigued, because I am. Like, I have enjoyed the story so far and I've enjoyed the performances, but I don't know what it is when I'm looking at the play bar on the PS5 and I hover over Death Stranding Director's Cut. I just don't want to hit X. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like, it feels like a commitment. Does that make sense? It's like the difference between sitting down and watching a TV series or a TV show, or sitting down and watching a movie. I don't know. Like, it's like, is my brain ready to take all of this in right now? With all the shit I've got going on, I'm trying to move house right now and a whole bunch of other shit. Oh my God, Lockie, what are you doing?
Oh, geez.
Can you mute yourself if you're going to run around yelling? You're so distracting. Or is he, maybe he can't see us at all right now, and that's why.
I don't know, but it's hilarious.
he can't hear us. Oh my God. This is going to be a fun edit.
Just leave it in. News to reviews behind the curtains.
I hope his recording's still fucking going.
Can you mute? back off?
You never muted right, yourself.
We are talking again.
Oh, he muted the recording, but he didn't mute the chat. Okay, there we go. Well,
yeah, no, I didn't. No, I wouldn't mute the chat so you guys can hear how it's tracking.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was great. It was really easy to concentrate.
Yeah, good. Well, you know. All right.
Anyway, Death Stranding. All right,
have you guys gotten through your stuff? You done talking about Death Stranding?
Look, Max, on your recommendation...
God damn it.
Just based purely
God
on...
God damn it.
What, Lockie, what? Please just say
Oh,
it,
I just dropped out for like the last 10 seconds there, so oh, okay. We are not in a good place.
All right, cool. Whatever, as long as your recording's working, I don't give a shit.
Yep, recording's working. All right, Max. So how are we going for... are we done with Death Stranding? We've heard of Death Stranding before. We've covered it.
We've never talked about Death Stranding on the show.
We've had guests cover this fucking game before.
Okay, you're probably right. Anyway, so Max, based purely on how much you love it, I think I will push through and I will finish Death Stranding. But for now, yeah, look, I don't expect any more impressions anytime soon. It's definitely not something that's going to be at the forefront. You know, Cult of the Lamb coming out soon. That's where my attention's going to be next week. So, yeah, but I will get to it and I will finish that. I do want to see that story out. So, yeah. Now, Lockie, I know you got something to talk about this week. What have you been playing this week? My friendly co-host.
Let's hope that my connection issues sort of stabilize with the good old 5G. That was meant to be like the great thing. I spent so much money to get this 5G and I'm still dropping out.
Look, if we freeze, just keep talking until it goes back to normal again. We'll get it from context what you're talking about.
yeah, there's going to be a lot of context clues and a lot of like potentially disjointed messages and people not quite comprehending the other part. Oh, look, it's happening right now. Wow. Oh, wow, it happened just then. That's great. Okay. Look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take off my video and just be audio, and hopefully that'll divide apparently the very limited internet connection space.
I
so
can't believe that just dropped out immediately.
Better.
That's so good.
Oh, did lucky, it drop I'm... out immediately?
Oh, bit. Yeah, it did. It was you froze immediately. That was perfect.
God damn it.
Good on you, Max, too, like staying so professional and not just cracking up like I did. Like,
it's all right. I have this... Ryan's camera constantly freezes throughout our recording, so...
Oh, thank you.
You're well experienced.
Well, at least I know I'm not alone in my misery that I'm inflicting on other people. Sorry. All right. So it's funny that you guys have been playing and talking about a lot of From Software. Well, I'm going to shift the conversation to shit hardware because I'm playing Xenoblade 3 on the Nintendo Switch.
Perfect segue, Lock.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. We got there. Third time's a charm. And it's the third installment in that game series. Ooh. Happy accidents. Happy accidents. Zach is fanning himself because he's just trying to cool off. He's sweating more profusely on that one. All right, so I've been playing Xenoblade 3. I've already introduced the game since last week, so I'll try and keep this brief. I am thoroughly enjoying this game. I am actually enjoying it to the point that I'm willing to overlook all of the visual issues that come with playing any given game on a Nintendo Switch, although they are very apparent. So, first of all, everything looks blurry as fuck. The best that I can make it look is by docking it and just cranking up all of the sharpening settings that I can to the inhuman values that the TV can provide. But once you do that, my goodness, this game is actually... It starts off really basic, and you think to yourself, oh, God, this is what I'm getting into. It's just going to be another retread of 1 and 2. No, they incorporate the old mechanics, but they add in so many layers so progressively quickly after you get past about the first 2 hours. It's actually really, it's so intriguing. So for someone that likes JRPGs and someone that likes fiddling around with different customization options and trying to work out your optimization strategies, and you have to level up different ranks, and that unlocks things. This game has so much unlockable and so many layers to the combat mechanics in it. It is actually not what I was expecting. There is a shit ton that it gets into, and it just keeps building. I'd say I've sunk about 10 hours in. I'd say I've sunk about 6 to 10 hours in. Okay. And I feel like
that's
I've only
a big window.
I know that. That's what time gets like when you're playing a JRPG. You don't pay attention to that shit.
You could actually literally check. It says your playtime on Switch.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah. That's anyway. A good idea, Zach.
So you don't have to do that right now, sorry, but you
no,
can.
No, no, no. What I'll do is I'll just stop. Let's stop the recording, and I'm just going to go down, fire up my Switch.
What a sadie.
Fire up my Switch, make sure that it's all charged and plugged in, and then work out the exact time play instead of just dealing with the rangers.
No, the rangers are great. I love the range. Keep going, please.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay, great.
So I'm really curious about this, like this layered gameplay. Like, what do you mean? Like, is it just like, oh, you add this gem to this character and now their hair's on fire? Or like, you know, is it, what do you mean by layered gameplay?
Okay, sorry, I dropped out for about 80% of that audio, but my understanding is your question was, what makes this game interesting? All right, so what?
Sure.
So, yeah, this is a JRPG. At the end of the day, you have customizable characters. They have different classes. Very much stock standard feeling, you know, previous Xenoblade titles and Final Fantasy vibes. You don't have the Pokemon-style swords that you did in the previous game, and it's more like the first game where you have six defined characters, which can then change into different classes where you can mix and match based on the game mechanics. And the fun thing about it is it initially seems really basic, you know, very comparable to the first Xenoblade Chronicles, but then they just, as soon as they unlock classes and open up that world, and they just keep introducing customizable mechanics to you. So they start off with different classes, then they move on to without spoiling, then they move on to these other cool mechanics, kind of like fusion arts. Then they move on to being able to customize all these extra items and upgrades. To be honest, they could have all just stuck it in a single item set like Diablo 2, in the same way you just have a skill tree. But they dole it out in such a way that it seems interesting and it adds fresh layers as you progress. So I understand why they did it. And it definitely does scratch that itch from someone that likes optimizing strategies around those sort of games. What I'll say in terms of the actual game, it's very, after a while, it is a grind. It is a very heavy grind game. You're going to be spending most of your time not even wanting to control your characters while you're doing auto battling. So they have good features in there where you can assign an auto battle where you just move across the map, you do your little grind shit, and then when you actually come across a boss or you go into a boss cutscene, that's when you do need to take control of, at the very least, your main character that you're running, and then the rest are all on wheels. So it's one of those things where I'm finding that experience extremely relaxing. So it depends on the type of game you want to play. If you want to play a game where you're in high-stakes action, for example, like Devil May Cry 5, where you are in direct control, it's not that type of game. It is much more slow-paced. It's much more a relaxing feel. And I would say, having played it again, there's very much a space for that for people playing games. Hades was an example of one of my favorite, you know, non-thinking, you're just running through and working through it type of games. And I very much am getting sort of that level of satisfaction from this one. Because it is a JRPG that goes for almost, I'm anticipating 100 fucking hours, because I think cutscenes alone from YouTube combined add up to, I think, 12 to 14 hours. That's just the cutscenes. It's not even playing the game and doing stuff in it.
Far out. That's a lot of story.
Wrap that around your head. That's bloody insane.
So Xeno Stranding?
Yeah, oh, there we go. No. I can hear you again. Sorry, what did you say?
Xeno straining. Oh lots of cards. Anyway, never mind. Keep going.
All right. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm still playing through this. I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface with this game. But what I can say with confidence is if you are a JRPG fan, there is a lot to like about this game. I think it's really well voice acted for the most part. Some of the writing... the writing is good, and there are some moments where the writing is quite funny, where they do drop a lot of the F bombs and S bombs, and they drop it to good effect. So there's one moment where there's this really verbose, well spoken bad guy, and he was doing and he was like saying something along the lines of, "Your astute deductions, while profound, are ultimately shit," and which is just such a funny delivery. So there's a lot to like about this game. It does have the same pitfalls of the previous Xenoblades, where the characters are constantly talking as you fight and they're constantly repeating the same things over and over again, and a lot of it is absolutely awful to listen to. So you got your cocky character being always talking up his cocky bullshit at the end of every fight, and then you've got there's this line where one character is complimenting the other character, where she said, "You looked great," and she says it so often. It's just like, what the fuck? It never made sense the first time, and I'm just hearing this line all the time. Well done, that's you so looked weird. Great. Like at the end of a fight, like is she flirting with her? And why is she saying it in such a patronizing manner? Like, it's weird. Yeah. So you got a lot of that. You got a lot of your bad sort of average budget stuff with the good stuff. So there is enough good stuff to keep you going and look past, you know, the rough edges.
With it being Xenoblade 3, because I picked it up this week, I haven't had a chance to play it though. How good is it at onboarding people who haven't played the first two titles?
Oh, it's really good. They finally figured out how to do a proper tutorial and ease you into it really effectively, to the point that it's actually overkill for someone like me. Particularly when they get into their more advanced customization stuff, it's really obvious what you need to do, but they still force you to do it. Okay. and run through it step by step, even when you're 6 hours in. They only need you to do it once, though, so I suppose that's good for an onboarding experience to someone new, but it can get a little bit frustrating at times.
Cool.
Totally fair. Oh, nice. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying Xenoblade 3 so much, Lockie. Did you have anything left you wanted to say on it for this week?
No. I look, there's not much else to say. I think it's a very interesting game. I really am digging the story. There are parts of the story that just make no fucking sense to me. There's you know, I don't want to spoil it, but quite early on in the game, you know, you have the way the world presents itself gets turned upside its head. And things happen, and you have to deal with this new change of events. And but they still kept in some of the old mechanics. And I thought, as soon as this shift happened, none of that mattered anymore, and you were free from that. But then they still say that you're not free from that, and you have to still deal with that, but in certain ways. And again, without going into spoilers, it's hard to explain. But when you get into it, you'll be asking yourself questions with going, okay, the mechanics have changed in this world, the physics, the rules have changed, so we're not worrying about this anymore. But then the game says, no, that's still there, and these other things aren't, and there's no real clear distinction as to what's there and what isn't. Okay. But we're just doing it because it hits really good story beats.
Oh, I love that, though. I love it when you start playing a game and you're like, okay, the game's about this, but then all of a sudden it flips things. Like, no, it's actually about this. Like, that's cool. That's intriguing.
Oh, yeah, no, that's awesome. It's just some of the aspects that they already laid the groundwork with, they decide to keep in there, even though you would think that because of that shift, that wouldn't matter anymore, but they still keep going with it. And it's like, ooh. Anyway, yeah, it's hard to explain again without... yeah, getting into spoiler territory, but okay. There are just some things where the story is absolutely stellar and it's fantastic, and then there are moments where they kind of have shoehorned in the same plot line to Final Fantasy X with Yuna's character, and it shouldn't be in there.
Okay. Oh, totally fair. Well, That'll do us, I think, for news to reviews for another week. Now, God, despite all the technical issues that we've had throughout this episode, holy shit, Max, I have had a fantastic time. Sorry?
I said I'm never getting asked back again.
No, of course, you know, no, I'm never getting asked to come back again. You're fine.
It was all on us. It was all us. You were the perfect one. You were the one we aspire to be this week.
We'll see. We'll see how my recording goes at the end of this when I save it and upload it.
Regardless of how that turns out, Max, I have had an absolute blast. Like, you know, normally Sunday morning recording, especially when we start at 9 a.m, it's like, oh God. But fucking hell. I had so much fun. Thanks so much for joining us, mate.
No, anytime, anytime. Thank you for having me again.
Bloody oath. Now, please remind the people where they can find all the wonderful content that you make.
So again, I'm one of the co-hosts over at The Pop Culturist. We host a podcast called For the Players. It's a PlayStation-themed podcast. You can find us live on Twitch Sunday evenings at twitch.com/thepopculturist. Or you can catch us at a later date on Monday mornings at 8 a.m. on podcast services. Just search for For the Players. And you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/thepopculturist at 9 a.m. for the video version. Just in case you want to see these gorgeous mugs at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
I very much enjoy watching the VODs. I'll put them on and have them playing in the background while I play some games. And for anyone who wants to check out all their stuff, it'll be in the description of the episode down below. And if you want to check out everything News to Reviews does, you can find all our links there as well. Hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Definitely check out our Twitch streams that we're doing, twitch.tv/news2reviews. I'll be streaming Little Hope, Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope. Which one came first? No, Man of Medan Man I'll of be Medan doing, I first. Think. Yeah, Man of Medan came first. So I want to start with that one.
All right, let's
6:30 p.m.
Here we go.
6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/news2reviews. I've heard they're not amazing, the Dark Pictures Anthology games, so I'm very much looking forward.
Little Hope's really good. Man of Medan, kind of like.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'm very much looking forward to getting into it, because I've had a lot of fun streaming all the super massive games. Lockie, you made it to the end of the episode despite your internet issues. We even have video back now. I feel blessed to see your gorgeous mug once again. Lockie, can you bless us with your final words of wisdom for this episode?
Look, I think for my final words of wisdom, I don't know. I'm trying.
Fuck Telstra once again.
5G's a crock.
How to solve 5G versus Wi-Fi, and I got no words of wisdom. I think I got no answers. If I had the answers, we wouldn't be suffering so much. I guess the words of wisdom is patience and resilience in the face of severe technical adversity.
Well, if those words of wisdom don't do it for you, you've always got this advice. Everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. What?